السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. کنٹینیوئنگ ود دی بایوگرافی آف سیدنا عثمان رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ. سو وی ہیڈ اسٹارٹڈ ڈسکسنگ ہاؤ عمر رضی اللہ عنہ چوز اے گروپ آف سکس صحابہ رضی اللہ عنہم اینڈ how they must choose the Khalifa from amongst them. So now with this, Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu also offered some advices for the Khalifa who will be chosen after him. So he gave some important advices. He said, I advise you to fear Allah alone, with no partner or associate. I advise you to treat the first Muhajirin well, and acknowledge their seniority. Because obviously they accepted Islam first. They made the most mujahada. I advise you to treat the Ansar well and show approval of those among them who do well. Forgive those among them who make mistakes. I advise you to treat the people of the outlying regions well, for they are a shield against the enemy. And they are also the conduits of the fay. Fay is whatever wealth is achieved through war, male ghanimat, male fay. It's all different ahkam with regards to them. Why one is called fay, why one is called ghanimat. Right? That all you will learn in your fiqh. But the people in the outlying areas, they are a shield, because if any enemy is to come, they are the ones who will have to stand first. And also they are a conduit. When the Male Fay will come, or the Male Ghanimat will come now to bring it in, they are the people, because they are in the outlying areas. Do not take anything from them except that which is surplus to their needs. I advise you to treat the people of the desert well, for they are the original Arabs and the protectors of Islam. Even in this Zamana, they say, if you want to see Islam practiced in its pristine purity, go and stay with the desert Arabs. Those that are out in the desert, you see a lot of deen, a lot of iman with them. Take from them their surplus and give it to their poor. In other words, take their extra wealth from them, the zakat, whatever they pay, and distribute it amongst the poor amongst them. I advise you to treat the Zimmis well. Now, who are the Zimmis? The Jews and the Christians living in Muslim lands under government protection. They are the Zimmis. They are our responsibility. That's why they are called the Zimmis. Defend them against their enemies and do not burden them with more than what they can bear. So if they fulfill their duties towards the believers, or they pay their jizya with willing submission, then there's no need to harm them in any way, trouble them in any way. I advise you to fear Allah and fear His wrath, lest you do anything wrong. Now, these are all advices Umar radiallahu anhu is leaving for the person who will become the next Khalifa. I advise you to fear Allah with regards to the people, but do not fear the people with regards to Allah Ta'ala. In other words, when you're dealing with the people, make sure you're fearing Allah. Deal with all of them with justice in a good way. But don't fear them when it comes to Allah Ta'ala. In other words, don't let them now cause you to break Allah's commands. That you mustn't do. I advise you to treat the people justly. Devote yourself to looking after them and protecting them against their enemies. Do not show any favor to the rich over the poor. That will be better for your spiritual well-being, and it will help to reduce your burden of sin, and it will be better for your akhirah until you meet the one who knows what is in your heart. I instruct you to be strict with regards to the commands of Allah Ta'ala, the hudud, all the sacred limits, the hudud of Allah Ta'ala, and disobedience with all people. You be strict. Anybody is being disobedient, you be strict with them. Whether they are your relatives, whether they are others. Do not show any mercy to anyone, until you have settled the score with him according to his offense. First you mete out the penalty. After that, show mercy, no problem. But you can't show mercy in meting out the penalty. Treat all people as equal. Do not worry about who is at fault or fear the blame of the blamers. Beware of showing favoritism among the believers with regards to the faith that Allah Ta'ala has put you in charge of, lest that leads to injustice. Keep away from that. You are in a position between this world and the Akhirah. In other words, don't regard yourself to be in a position of authority. What's your position? Your position is you are between the world and the hereafter. That's your position. Each one of us, that's our position. If you conduct your affairs justly in this world and refrain from indulgence, that will earn you iman and divine pleasure. But if you let whims and desires overwhelm you, you will incur the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. I advise you not to let yourself or anyone else do wrong to the zimmis. I am offering you sincere advice. Seek thereby the countenance of Allah Ta'ala and the hereafter. I have chosen advice for you that I would offer to myself or my own son. If you do as I have advised you and follow my instructions, you would have gained a great deal. But if you do not accept it or pay attention to it, and you do not handle your affairs in the way that pleases Allah Ta'ala, that would be a shortcoming on your part, and you would have failed to be sincere, because whims and desires are the same, and the cause of sin is Iblis, who calls man to everything that will lead to his doom, his destruction. He misguided the generations who came before you and led them to Jahannam. What a terrible abode. What a bad deal it is for a man to take the enemy of Allah as his friend. That enemy who calls him to disobey Allah Ta'ala. Adhere to the truth. Strive hard to reach it and admonish yourself. I urge you by Allah to show mercy to the Muslims, honor their elderly, show compassion to their young ones, and respect the knowledgeable ones among them. Do not harm them or humiliate them. Do not keep the faith for yourself, lest you anger them. Do not deprive them of their stipends when they become due, thus making them poor. Do not keep them away on campaigns for so long that they end up having no children. That you send the Mujahideen away for so long that they don't get time to spend at home with their families, with the result they don't have children. Do not allow wealth to circulate only among the rich. That is the system of the world. The kuffar system is that the wealth must circulate among the rich. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer. That's their system. That's not the Islamic system. Do not close your door to the people, lest that allows the strong to oppress the weak. But the weak will come to you to complain, but now if you close your door to them, so the strong will oppress them now. You see, okay, we will come to this just now, right? About do not let the wealth circulate only among the rich. We'll come to this point, this one, to elaborate on that point a little bit more. So this is my advice to you, as Allah is my witness, and I greet you with salam, wassalam. So this advice is indicative of Umar radiallahu anhu's farsightedness with regards to matters of ruling and administration, which clearly reflects an integrated methodology and system of ruling and administration. Everything is based on the fear of Allah Ta'ala, the rights of people, the fear of Allah Ta'ala. This advice covers a number of very important issues and deserves to be viewed as a precious document because it includes basic principles of ruling which incorporate the religious, political, military, economic, and social aspects of rule. So each point that Umar radiallahu anhu made needs elaboration. But obviously, it needs a lot of elaboration. But what I wanted to just elaborate a little bit on, Umar radiallahu anhu said, don't let the wealth circulate only amongst the rich. You see, when you look at the Islamic system, so definitely there will be wealthy people, there will be poor people, there will be middle class people, wealthy people, super wealthy people. That is Allah Ta'ala's decree, right? Allahu yabsutu rizqa limay yasha'u wa yaqdir. Allah Ta'ala, He expands the risk for whoever He wants. He restricts the risk for whoever He wants. That is taqdeer, that is Allah Ta'ala's decree. Allah Ta'ala tests a person. If Allah Ta'ala expands a person's risk, that person is also being tested. If Allah Ta'ala restricts a person's risk, he is also being tested. Everybody is being tested. How are you going to behave in this condition? How are you going to behave in that condition? So, when we look at the Islamic system, now say for example, a person is wealthy. So he's got a business, factory, whatever, and he's super wealthy. Right? So he obviously is going to have surplus wealth. Lot of surplus wealth. Right? So now, Islam encourages him. رَجُلٌ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا فَسَلَّتَهُ عَلَىٰ هَلَكَتِهِ. A man, Allah Ta'ala has given him wealth. And then Allah Ta'ala gives him the tawfiq to spend that wealth now in all alal haq, you know, in all good causes. He spends that wealth. So now this person, he's super wealthy. So now, Allah has given him a big factory, a big business, a big farm, whatever it is, and he is making money. Now he's got all this extra wealth. Now what must he do with this wealth? Now you look for all the widows, they battling, right? Let me help them. Look for all the orphans, right? They battling, let me help them. Right, this person here, he needs to start up a business, right? Let me help him. Let him get started up. So, he as a wealthy man, right? As he's getting surplus wealth, he's spending that surplus wealth on the poor. So the wealth is circulating amongst everyone. Right? The disabled, the widows, the orphans, wealth is spent on them. Right? The able-bodied, healthy people, they are being set up in businesses, giving them an opportunity to start up something, do something, carry on. So the wealth will circulate now amongst everybody. Right? If a person needs a loan, this man got surplus wealth. He gives him a loan. Qarz-e hasana. You pay back when you got it. If we have made an agreement that you will pay back in 6 months' time, 8 months' time, come 6 months, 8 months, you haven't got the money, no problem, I'll extend the time. That's what Deen encourages that rich man to do. Right? You tried to set this person up, you gave him some money, you told him you must pay back, gave him some stock, whatever. He went, he tried, but he doesn't have business acumen, or it wasn't in his taqdeer, or whatever, his business ran down. Forgive him. That I write it off for you, go. Right? So now, the person, he's not just going to get rich and rich and rich and carry on getting rich because he's spending his wealth. That wealth is circulating in the community in different forms. Right? Now, take that system and compare it to the capitalist system. Capitalist system now, I got my business, I'm doing well. I got surplus money. Now what I must do? Look for investments. Hey, things are not good in this country. Look for offshore investments. Right? So I will give some charity because I want some barakat and some sawab, you know. But the charity will be the crust, the crumbs. The charity will not be large sums of money because I just want to get wealthier. So from one shop, I want another shop. From one property, I want 5 more properties. From no gold, I want a lot of gold. I want. So the wealth doesn't circulate. Right? If you want a loan, you come to me, you want a loan. No, but I see this loaning thing and all, I don't do. If you want, we can go into a partnership. Right? But now, if things don't work out, I'm suing you. I'm not writing things off. I'm not making you maaf. Right? The system of the kuffar, you want a loan, yeah, no problem. You pay us interest. Right? Unfortunately, Muslims are also doing this now. Right? But that's the way of the kuffar. Right? So, their system is the poor must get poorer. And the wealth must only circulate amongst the super wealthy, the rich. The wealth circulates there. So, if you look at the system of the world now, before you had an upper class, a medium class, a lower class, right? The medium class is being pushed into the lower class. You're not finding a medium class anymore. What's the proof for that? You see, you must always look at the car market. Are you finding medium-sized saloons? No. You get small cars, and then you get luxury cars. Right? That middle class, in very few makes, you'll get it. But it's dying. It's dying. Because there's no middle class. There's no middle class now. The middle class is becoming extinct. You're either battling to make ends meet, or you're capitalizing on those who are battling to make ends meet. That's how it's going. So the wealthy must just get wealthier. Right? If you look at the whole world, and you take the wealth of the whole world, major percentage of that wealth is in the hands of a few people. It's not circulating amongst the masses. Understand? So the Islamic system is when Allah Ta'ala gives you wealth, you help. And you help without expecting anything. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, as known as Qutaysav Rahmatullah Ali, he used to explain that when you become Allah's and Allah gives you wealth, then you become Qasim. In other words, you become, when Allah is giving you wealth, he's not just giving you wealth for you to sit on it. You must just become wealthier and just, no. Allah gives you wealth to make you Qasim. You become a distributor now of that wealth. So that's the Islamic system. And the capitalist system is, you must just become more wealthier and more wealthier and more wealthier. So Allah Ta'ala, allow us to appreciate the beauty in the Islamic system, of a system of deen. And the system of the kuffar is a very selfish system. You see, if you took a loan from the bank, Allah protect us all. You took a loan from the bank to buy a motor car. Why? It was a necessity. Right? So you bought a basic motor car just to get from point A to point B. You can go to work, come back. Right? Out of necessity you bought a car. So you took a loan from them. You bought one Chinese car. Right? 200,000, 250,000, 300,000, whatever. You took a loan, you bought the car. So they tell you, you got 48 months to pay the bank. Right? They add their profit on it. Interest, haram interest. Right? They add that on it. And now they give you your installments and they tell you, right, you got 48 months or 60 months or whatever you must pay. Now, if you are in a problem, Right? Somebody got sick in the family. It costed you money in the hospital. Or whatever happened, right? Your car needed new tires. So that month you don't have money to pay that installment. You can't go to them and tell them, you know what, I got this problem, I got that problem, give me a break this month. No, they want their money. If you don't pay that installment, they add further interest on it. Now, the man is in a problem, you kicking him in the teeth. Instead of uplifting him, helping him, say, all right, see ya, bye. You went through a bit of a bad patch now. For the next 3 months, don't worry about paying your installment. Get on your footing again, and then you start paying. Right? That's the Islamic system. The kuffar system is, you missed 1 month. Right? We load on more interest now. On your arrears now, more interest. You missed the second month, more interest. You missed the third month, we're repossessing the car. Right? So now they repossess the car. Now, motor cars depreciate. So this fellow, when he bought the car was 300,000. On top of it, they added their interest. The car ended up costing him 420,000, for example, right? I'm just throwing figures. 400,000, right? He finished paying them 150,000 in installments. So he only got 250 left. He paid 150. But now they repossessed his car. Now he doesn't have a car. They repossess the car. So they now auction the car. Right? So the buyers now come like hawks and eagles to the auction. They want to pick it up at a cheap price. So they managed to auction that car at 180,000 or 200,000. Right? They sell it off. So they take the 200,000 and they put it towards this man's debt. Right? Now he's still owing 50,000. Now they still sue him for that 50,000. Now he doesn't have a car. The 150,000 then that he paid, he can't retrieve that, can't recover that, that's gone. Right? They took his car, they sold it for 180,000 or 200,000, now there's a balance of 50 or 70,000, they still sue him for that. Now, if he doesn't have the money to pay that, they charge interest on that too. Right? They must get involved with lawyers' costs, this cost, that cost. So, the man is down, that's why he's not paying. On top of it, you're throwing more problems on him. The Islamic system is, the man came to you, he borrowed 300,000 to buy a car. Right? If you are a karorpati now, you are a multi-billionaire, right? He came to you, says, here, bhai, you need a car, you're buying the Chinese car for 300,000, see here, take it as a gift. Don't worry. You're not owing me. You're a working class man, you're working hand to mouth, you're just taking care of your expenses, how are you going to pay me back? And I don't need it. Allah is giving me so much. I don't need it. Take it as a gift from me. That's the Islamic system. Or, if you don't want to give the man a gift, say, all right, I give you a loan. You go buy it. How much can you pay me? You pay me back. So much a month or whatever. The month you can't pay me, no problem. No problem. And if you're ready in a jam and, you know, I mean, you lost your job tomorrow or something, come talk to me, I'll write it off. That's the Islamic system. That's how you are encouraged to be in Islam. Right? Now the problem is, taqwa is lost on both sides. The one who is borrowing, he got no taqwa. He is borrowing in order to do you down. And the one who got the money, he got no taqwa, he just wants to get more and more richer. So both sides, there's a problem. Otherwise the Islamic way is a beautiful way, beautiful system. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.